us begin to cry out to Him right now. Come on, lift your voice and begin to praise His holy name.
When I come into the presence of the Lord, when I come into the presence of the Lord, my heart is free again.
When I come into the presence of the Lord,
when I come into the presence of the Lord,
when I come into the presence of the Lord,
chains are broken in. Would you lift your voice to him right now? He inhabits the praises of his people. Come on. Come on, praise your way into his presence right now. Come on, worship your way into his throne room right now.
Come on, feel after him tonight. Come on, there's a sweet presence of the Lord in this house. Let's just take a moment and feel after the Lord in this place. Come on, all over this house, lift your hands, lift your voice, lift your heart. I feel you, Jesus. My soul. Yes, my soul does burn within me. Come on, let's entertain his presence right now. Come on, let's not rush through this moment. We've been waiting since Sunday for this. Come on, some of us have been waiting a few days just to get back in his presence and worship the Lord together. Savior, I worship you, Jesus. Oh, I glorify your name. I worship you, Jesus. Oh, come on, let it burn tonight. Let it burn tonight. Oh, my God, my God, my God, my God, my God. Come on, he's here right now. Jesus is here right now. Reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by. Oh, you'll find he's not too busy. Come on to hear your heart's cry. He's passing by this moment. He wants to supply your needs. He wants to supply your needs tonight. Oh, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Come on, he fills the hungry soul with good things. Are you hungry tonight? Are you desirous tonight? Oh, we worship you, Jesus. The Bible says one thing will I seek after. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Is that what we're seeking after tonight? Is that enough to come to the house of God and feel his presence? Is it enough to be able to find an altar somewhere and pray? Or is there something else we need? There's something else. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Oh, come on. That's not a very good response tonight. I don't need anything else that this world has to offer. If I could just have Jesus, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after. God, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Let me dwell in your presence tonight. My God, I love you today. God, I love you. Oh, let's praise him. Let's praise him. Come on, let's not get in such a routine. Now we know how long, and we know the routine. We know the thing that we're supposed to do. Let's just entertain his presence right now. We got time tonight. Oh, drink up what you will. You're at the well tonight. Drink up. Oh, my God, my God, my God. Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we love you. Oh, Jesus. He's passing by this moment. Come on, your need to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord. Come on, is there anybody that wants to cry out, David? Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. I'm right here, God. I have a need tonight. I'm right here, God. I want to touch you, Jesus. I need to touch the hem of your garment. Come on, can we thrust out a little bit more? Can we push a little bit further tonight. Come on, we love you, Savior. We love you, Savior. We love you, Savior. Jesus is here right now. Reach out and touch him. Come on, I can feel the brush of angels' wings. Ah, we worship you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. Ah, we magnify you, Jesus. Come on, the full soul loveth even the honeycomb. But to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. Are you hungry tonight? Oh, my God, my King, my Savior. God, I love you, Jesus. Praise God. Amen, amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by. You'll find he's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He's passing by this moment. We need to go further. We need to hear the preaching. No, he's passing by this moment. Your need to supply. How would he do that right now? If you're hungry and you reach out to him, he'll supply your need. If you're desirous to have a move of the Holy Ghost, it can happen right here, right now. We got a program. I got a message. Let's not get so in a routine or a rut that we got to just go through the system and through the motions. No, I want to touch the Lord in the moment he's passing by. If he's here right now, I want to touch him. And I'm here to tell you tonight, Jesus is here right now. Jesus is here right now. Reach out and touch him. Oh, my God. God, I love you today. If there's a need in the house, and I know there are several, but you don't want to reach out. You don't want to take the effort, the time to reach out in a moment when he's in the house. Don't get upset. Say, Pastor, are you rebuking us? Absolutely not. I'm exhorting us tonight. Don't get so caught up in the routine of church. I've always said we start church with prayer. Whatever happens after that, we want it to happen. I can feel the Holy Ghost in this house right now. There are people who feel the Holy Ghost, and there are people who have not yet moved. And I know some of you have needs in the place. He's passing by this moment. How desperate are you? How hungry are you? How desirous are you? Oh, Jesus. Come on, if all your needs are met, help us pray tonight. If you have a need, help us pray tonight. Oh, Jesus. Come on, if you don't like to be pushed in the Spirit, help us pray tonight. Oh, let's get in one accord in one place tonight. Sweep over my soul tonight, Jesus. Sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. Come on, the devil don't like this right here. The enemy doesn't like this right here. But this is where the Lord does his work. Come on, this is where the Lord does his work. worship you, Savior. Take it in tonight. I love you today, Jesus. Old song says, where do I go when there's nobody else to turn to? Who do I talk to when nobody wants to listen? Who do I lean on when there's no foundation stable? I go to the rock. I know he's able. I go to the rock. The Lord is the rock I go to of my salvation. I go to the stone that the builders rejected. I run to the mountain, and the mountain stands by me. When all the earth around me is sinking sand, on Christ a solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock. Where do I go when the storms of life are threatening? Who do I turn to when those winds of sorrow blow? Is there a refuge in the time of tribulation? I go to the rock. I know he's able. I go to the rock. Amen. That's our source. That's our supply. Who else are we going to turn to? Who else can we depend on? Who else are we going to call upon? Well, if you could just get to Jesus. That's what the woman said. I've tried everything else. I've spent all the money I have. If I could just touch the hem of his garment, if I got to crawl through the crowd, if I got to humble myself, if I got to press beyond measure, I want to touch him because I've tried everything else. Didn't the song say, when you've tried everything else, try Jesus. World's left you empty, try Jesus. If you've reached all you can reach for, try Jesus. Praise God. Let's lift our hands one more time tonight. What a wonderful presence of the Lord in this house. We thank you, dear Jesus. We glorify you, dear Savior. Oh, by your Spirit. Oh, let's stand tonight all over this house. Let's stand and give the Lord praise. He's worthy of. Come on, he's worthy tonight. Lord, we thank you today. As you're standing, Psalm 55, by way of announcements, pray for Brother Myers. He's not able to be here tonight. He had to take Sheila to the hospital. Todd is not here. Car broke down. And then Sister Bray is on her way to a National Ladies Conference in Branson. I think she's there already. So a much needed, much deserved. I was thinking about this last night, or this morning actually, coming back from the airport. The word tirelessly, they work tirelessly. I don't know about that. That means they never got tired. They never got wore out. They just kept going. I think it's more important when you do through your tiredness, through your weariness, you push through and you sacrifice even when you don't feel like doing it. And I know that pastor appreciation kind of falls with my birthday, so I kind of get the focus. But really, I wouldn't pastor a church if I was a single man. Someone asked Brother Morton, how do you pastor without a wife? He said, how do you pastor with one? I don't. I know this. If something happened to my wife, I probably wouldn't pastor anymore, because I don't want to do this by myself. It takes both of us. And I give her honor tonight, even though she's not here. She's on a much-deserved little break with her sister at Ladies Conference in Branson. So God bless her. Pray for her safe travels. Don't forget your time of personal daily devotion. Read your Bible. Pray every day. Fast as often as you can. Be on the lookout for souls. Everybody outside the church is a soul. Not everybody inside the church is a soul too, but we're trying to win the ones that are outside the church. And so be a witness to them. Be faithful in every area of life. Let's just be nice and do the right thing. Amen. Tomorrow night, we're going to continue our work at the church. I wish that I could. I don't know. We got time. No matter what happens from here on out, the Holy Ghost has already moved. So I could mess up the whole thing, and it'll be all right. Praise God. I'm going to show you this on my iPad, because I can't put it up on the screen. But it's pretty cool. It's us working last night at the church with the lights in there. We're a beacon already. People drive by and they see it. They wonder what's going on. They're going to see the sign go up, and they're going to come by the church. Hey, let's give God praise. Let's give God glory. Come on, thank God for what he's doing. Anybody excited about what God is doing? Amen. Amen. If you're excited about something, you show it by participating in that something. So let's be excited about church. Let's participate in church. If you show up to work and there's no work, don't get mad. We'll find something for you to do, and if we don't, guess what? You'll make up for it next time. There is always. In fact, poor Brother Lloyd showed up the other night. I sent him to Home Depot to get a ladder, and his fill, as he said, he took his fill with him. That's father-in-law. And by the time they got back, we were done. That's a good work night for them. Praise God. But we asked them to do it, and they did a job that needed to be done, and now we have the extra ladders. So if you're short, we got you covered. Praise God. Y'all didn't laugh at that. Too many short people in the house. According to Brother Caleb, he said short people got no reason to live, so I don't know. Well, now you said that to your cousin who's shorter than you. That was mean. All right, Psalm 55. Brother Vinny will be in the back before you leave tonight, waiting anxiously for your tithe and offering. Let's be faithful in our support to the house of the Lord and to the project that's going on. I'm just going to read a couple. I'm going to skip down here from 11 to 23. Verse 11 said, wickedness is in the midst thereof. Deceit and guile depart not from her streets. For it was not an enemy that reproached me. Then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man, mine equal, my guide, my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together. We walked into the house of the Lord in company. He said, as for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and noon will I pray and cry aloud. He shall hear my voice. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me. The words of his mouth are smoother than butter, but war is in his heart. It's just talking about his friend, talking about his the one that hurt him. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved, but thou, O God, shall bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in thee. Sometimes it's not what was said, it's who said it. Sometimes it's not what was done, it's who done it. You ever heard the phrase, consider the source? I've been called names. I've been ridiculed as a human being, as a coworker, and I one time was told something, and they said, man, I can't believe they said that to you. I said, I've been called worse by better people. I'm not worried about that. I don't take criticism from people that I wouldn't take advice from. But sometimes the source is worse than what was done. So tonight, I want to talk to us for just a little bit. Consider the source. We are consumers. The day I was getting ready to eat some breakfast at the house, and listening to Brother Mayo's devotion. It's a routine. It's just what we do. And I thought, you know how many people just consume information but never contribute? We're just consumers. Back in the day before the Lord, before BC, there used to be a fishing show with a guy named Jimmy Houston. Fishing's boring enough, but there are people who spent hours and hours watching fishing, just consuming rather than doing. I thought to myself that morning, I don't want to be just a consumer. I want to be a contributor. I don't want to just talk about it or watch it. I want to do it. I want to make it happen. God, if you could use anything, use me. If you're my source, come on, let's praise the Lord tonight. Come on, anybody want to be a contributor? Anybody want to be a doer? Now, I'm not just a hearer of the word. I'm a doer also. Oh, hallelujah to God. Oh, clap your hands and give God praise in the house. Come on, clap your hands and give God praise. Praise God. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. The source, according to the dictionary, a source is anything or place from which something comes, arises, or is obtained. The origin. The source of our food, the source of our income, the beginning or the place of origin of a stream or river, that's the source. The Bible says you can't get sweet water from bitter water, but you can't get bitter water from sweet water. The source matters. A book, a statement, a person that supplies information. What was your source? Who told you that? You know how many times I've been told things by people as a pastor, and they want to say, well, I heard this, or I heard that, or so-and-so, and they never give me a name. Who said it? Well, I don't want to say. Well, then I don't want to hear it. I had someone come to me one time. They were always complaining about a certain person in the church in Spruce Grove. Sister so-and-so is always... I said, we got to deal with Sister So-and-so. I said, wait right here. Okay. They thought I was going to go deal with Sister So-and-so. I went and brought Sister So-and-so in. I, for some reason, never got a complaint about Sister So-and-so again. When you got to be confronted with the truth, when you got to be confronted with the source, it means to give or to trace the source from. Where did this come from? To seek information about or consider possible options. We have technology at our fingertips. We got to be careful where we get our source. We got to be careful who we plug into. Yes, there are certain podcasts and there are certain devotionals that we listen to because we know them. We know their life. We know their doctrine. We know their ethics. We know their character. But are certain people, I don't want to have a source to flow into my life. I want to be careful who I allow. It comes from a Latin word which means to spring up or spring forth. Some people's source is their career. Now, I wanted to have a good job. I wanted to get paid well. And I ended up having a good job and getting paid well. But I still went to work every day hating that job. I thank God for it. I thank God for its benefits. I thank God for its income. I thank God for its ability to support the church. But that was not my source. It was just a job to pay the bills, to support my family, to support the church. But I didn't get any satisfaction. A job well done brings a certain amount of satisfaction. Having a job as prestigious as that job was brings certain satisfaction to our ego as a man. But I'm going to tell you something. If I could have made the same kind of money doing something else, if I could have made the same support for my family and my church doing something else, I didn't have to be a lineman. That's just the one that paid the bills. I didn't want to go. What I'm saying tonight is this. If your source of who you are comes from your career, you're plugged into the wrong source. If your source of your purpose in life is plugged into a degree or to education, you're getting the source from the wrong thing. Some is their family. I love my family. But if my family backslides, I got to be able to say that's not my source. That's not where I gain my motivation. Some are hobbies, relationships. There's nobody in this house. Now, I'm going to have a couple people argue this with me, at least in their heads, but I got receipts. To prove it, literally receipts. There's nobody in this house that loves horses more than me. Jess thinks she loves them more than me. Lainey thinks she loves them more than me. You ain't got a truck. You ain't got a trailer. You ain't got horses. You ain't got property. Every decision that I have made in the last 13 years. Now, I'm not saying I don't. I've been there. Wanting it so bad you can taste it. I'm not picking on them. I'm giving you an example. What I'm saying is this. That hobby chose my vehicles. It chose my vacations. It chose where I lived. It chose everything that I did because I had something that I had to support. But it never interfered with church. It never interfered with the things of God. It never stopped me from doing what needed to be done in the house of God. Yes, there are days I fed them and didn't touch them for months. People think they don't have them. They go, I couldn't do that. Yes, you can. When that's not your source. Yeah, I love them. I've cried, I've wept, I spent a whole lot of money on them. But I'm going to tell you something. When I get new ones, I'm still not going to make that. I can say horses tonight, but can we talk about golf? Can we talk about hunting? Can we talk about any kind of hobby? Can we talk about video games? Can we talk? Anything that takes our time, anything that occupies our time, that takes us away from the house of God, the things of God, the work of God, the call of God, that's our source. Can I tell you tonight, I'm not plugged into my hobby. I'm not plugged into relationships. I'm not plugged into education. Yeah, they're all good, and we want them all, and we need them all, but that's not my source. Those can be cut off, and I can still live. Those things can be taken away. Hey, I'm living proof. You can lose the things that you spent money on and still put God first. And still be why? Because they were not my source. Hey, I got to consider the source tonight. Don't get me wrong. I'm still looking. I'm on Marketplace, Jess. I'm trying to find good ones. Trying to find ones that won't kill me the next time I get them. That ain't cheap. Can I just tell you, good boots ain't cheap, and cheap boots ain't good. And it goes for horses, cars, pillows, and beds, and everything else. If it's going to be good, it's going to be expensive. Brother Terry used to say, you got to, in fact, Brother Myers was a little disappointed in me the other night. He said, you haven't been on pocket knives lately. I said, man, it's the death of the world. I'm just trying to build a church. Every man ought to carry a pocket knife. If you don't have a pocket knife, you need to get one. If you got one, you know, let me see it after church. Praise God. Do my boys have pocket knives on? My boys don't have pocket knives tonight. He was thinking that Sunday night. He said, man, Pastor hadn't said that about pocket knives. And then I whipped out my pocket knife and cut that bow on that gift. He said, oh, good, he's still. I got it in my pocket right now. I never go anywhere without a pocket knife. But let me tell you something. There's certain things you can cut off. There's certain things that you can. I can lose a pinky, I can lose a thumb, I can lose an arm, I can lose a leg, and I can still live. There are some things that have to be severed. Well, if relationships keep you from church, sever it. If jobs keep you from church, sever it. If hobbies keep you from church, sever it. Now don't, you got to use wisdom. You can't just up and quit and say, well, God's going to provide. God is our supply. But God also says you got to use wisdom. What's our source of entertainment? What's our source of purpose? What's our in Him? What's our source of being? In Him we move and breathe and have our being. You can take this whole world. You can take everything I have. You can lock me up in a prison, as the song says. You can throw away the key. But as long as I have Jesus, I have everything. It may come down to that. And if we can't make that decision today, if we can't make that choice now, how are we going to make it when that day comes? You think, no, I'll make the right decision. If you can make the decision on that day, you should be able to make it on this day. Come on, somebody. You got to understand. He is my source. When I consider my source, where am I getting my joy? Where am I getting my entertainment? Where am I getting my happiness? Where am I getting my purpose? As a society, we are plugged into Hollywood. We are plugged into music industry, sports entertainment, politicians. Shut the government down, keep it shut down. I don't care. Whose fault is it? I don't care. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. You know, old brother Louis L'Amour, he wrote a book one time called Mr. Passing. The guy said, why you go by Mr. Passing? He goes, because I'm just passing through. I'm not going to stay anywhere. I'm just passing through. So just call me Mr. Passing. I'm going to pass this way. I may come back. I may not. I'm just here. My pastor says as way leads to way, we may never pass this way again. We don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know what's on tomorrow. I'm going to want to make sure my source is right. I'm not caught up in politicians. I'm not caught in news anchors. I'm not caught up in pundits and all political sources and celebrities and athletes. Happiness is not based on what they do or say or the results of some game. I'm going to tell you, my source is in Jesus. My source is in the rock. My God. My source is in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Some people's source is in talking about their issues. You know how you keep issues alive? Talk about them. You know how you keep wounds open? Pick at them. Talk about them. Point them out. I got scars. I don't have wounds. I got scars. I got stories. I got testimonies. But I don't have open wounds. I don't want to talk about it. If I'm going to talk about my past, it's going to be a testimony. That's not what I am. That's what I was. God brought me out. Thank God I'm not what I used to be. Thank God he saved me. I'm not going to dwell on my problem. Some people, that's their source. That's what keeps them going. That's what keeps them up in the night. But I'm going to tell you something. When I think about my troubles, I thank God he brought me out. When I think about the pit that he brought, when I think about how almost fail. I realize my source. I run to the rock. I look to the hills from which cometh my help. Where do we get our information from? Where do we get our imagination from? We don't say it very often, but I hope everybody here knows we preach against television. I don't want to watch Hollywood movies. I don't even know how that's an issue anymore. There's certain things that people do. Okay, whatever. I may not agree with it. I may not like it. But whatever. But people who ingest Hollywood. People who ingest sports entertainment in the world. It's like saying that you're okay with abortion and being a Christian. It's like saying you're okay with same-sex marriage, but yet you're a Christian. It's in what fellowship have light with darkness? And we still preach against television. But we need to preach against phones. Because you can get way more on this in your privacy than you ever could on a television. Hey, I'm old enough to know that before I was 8 years old, I was my dad's remote control. Click, click, click. Don't go back. Click, click. Now move the antenna. Now move it over here. Now go back. No, there's nothing good on. Now they got them where it's all built in. We went to the hotel the other day, and they had the welcome sign on the TVs in the bedroom and in the other room. We took 20 minutes trying to figure out between both of our glasses, how do we get this thing off? It's everywhere. Consuming. You got to have it at the dinner table. You got to have it. Families don't eat at the table anymore. They eat in the living room around the television. What's our source? Where are we getting our information? Someone said, I was having some symptoms, so I Googled them. I died 3 times. You better be careful where you get your information. Where are you getting your motivation? Where are you getting your inspiration? Where are you getting your determination? I want to go to Jesus. If I have a problem, I want to go to the information that he gave me. If I have a problem in my spirit, I want to go to an altar. When I need to keep going, God, shall I pursue or shall I wait? Pursue. Will I recover? You shall recover it all. That's my determination. That's my inspiration. Hey, one day I'd rather dwell in the house of the Lord. One day in his presence is better than 1,000 elsewhere. That's my source. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or truth, Christ is preached, and therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectations and my hope. That earnest expectation, that literally translates to the thing that I long for, the thing that I hope for. What keeps me going? What gets me up? What am I plugged into? It's my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always and now also, Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be in life or death. When your source is Christ, it doesn't matter whether you live or die. It doesn't matter whether you live or die. Genesis 22 and 12, he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do anything to him. For I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him to the burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the place Jehovah Jireh. As it is said this day, in the mountain of the Lord it shall be seen. We know that story. But the question that was just before that in verse number 8, or verse number 7. My father, he said, here am I, my son. He said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. If we have not learned that sometimes we are the sacrifice. See, we don't want to be put in a place of sacrifice. We don't want to be put in a place on the altar. We want to put everything else on the altar, but we don't want to put ourselves on the altar. Abraham wasn't just putting his son on the altar. He was putting his future on the altar. He was putting his promise on the altar. He was putting God's promise on the altar. And he was willing to do it. But when Isaac knew that there's something missing here, can I just ask this question? Hey, we got the fire. We got the wood. Where's the sacrifice? When we come to church, did we bring a sacrifice of praise? Well, I'm having a bad day. Well, consider the source. Did you pray? Did you read your Bible? Yes, absolutely. Then just carry on. If you didn't pray, you didn't read your Bible, and you didn't do the things you're supposed to, probably why you're having a bad day. Carry on. Praise God. Worship God. Lift your hands. Bring a sacrifice. He said, the Lord will provide. God, you're not going to see it. Preached about this Sunday night a little bit. The view from the mountain is so much better. You know, when you take a picture or look up at the mountains from the valley, it's great. It's beautiful. But when you take a picture from the mountain and what looks so insurmountable and what looks so big and what looks so majestic, and I'm reminiscing on old songs tonight. It's like Sister Magruder used to sing, from heaven's point of view. When you get up from heaven's point of view, all those things that you could not overcome, all those obstacles that you couldn't overcome, all those things that you could not, or you thought you could not, from that point of view, man, they look so small. and Abraham at the bottom of the mountain said God will provide himself a sacrifice. And when they got on top of the mountain, it wasn't when they were at the bottom. It was when they got on top that God put a ram in the thicket. It says El Shaddai. He's my Jehovah Jireh. Why? Because he looks out for me. He provides for me. He's my supply. He's my confidence. The Lord will supply all your needs. In the mountain, it shall be seen. The Lord shall provide. In our greatest difficulties, when all human assistance is in vain, when we have exhausted all of our resources, and we've done all that we know to do, God will provide. Consider the source. Consider how hard it has been to get where you are on your own, and think about the hand of God. I would not be here if it wasn't for God. Without him, I can do nothing. On my own, I'm nothing. I'm just a willing vessel. I'm just a sacrifice. But God will supply all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Stand to our feet tonight. The way of the transgressor, the Bible says, is hard. Do it on your own. Not being able to supply. Now, I understand. I understand. I'm a man. I've raised a family. Still raising a family. It's just a second generation. Still participating in that. So I'm not unfamiliar with what I'm about to say. I never had the misconception that I was my kids and my wife's provider. Now, the Bible does say that if a man does not provide for his own family, he's worse than an infidel. I went to work. I worked a job. I wanted a better job. And we bought houses and we bought cars and we bought things and we had toys and we had all of that. But I always knew in my heart of hearts. In fact, it wasn't even that deep. It was something that was talked about on a consistent basis. That the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. I've had jobs where I made over $100,000 a year back in the mid 1990s into the early 2000s. 2006, I was working for the phone company making $42.75 an hour back in 2006. Full coverage benefits. I didn't have to pay anything for benefits. At the end, I was able to drive my bucket truck home and didn't have to pay for fuel. I never thought that was me. In fact, how many times I pulled up to my house and thought, how in the world did I go from cheap apartment complexes to this? I never thought that was me. I always knew it was God. And that's why I could walk away from that job and pursue a ministry. And that's why we could help build a church in Canada and then walk away literally with no car, no home, no job, no retirement. The only money I had was the money I got from Lloyd buying my truck. That's all the cash, $14,000 that transferred to $12,000. 41 years old, two teenage boys, a wife, and $12,000, and that's the only thing I had in life. And that was just 11 years ago. 12 years ago. I never thought it was me. I thought, God, if you did it before, you could do it again. God, if you could bless me with from where I was to where I am, you can take this. If I give it back to you, God, you can bless this, because I considered the source. I knew who my supply was. I knew who my provider was. I knew my Jehovah Jireh. So when everything gets down, when everything around me in the world. My wife and I are on the way to the airport this morning. I said, babe, I don't know that I've ever seen our country Can I just say it? Idaho has become California. I'm not joking. It's happening everywhere, right where we live. It's getting crazy. We don't live in the same place we used to live. But that's exactly what God wants for revival. That's exactly how you win the lost. When everybody's comfortable and everybody is fine and everybody's got, that I will provide for myself and I'm in a safe place. Can I just, since we're here, can I just go here for a moment? I bleed red, white, and blue. I'm as patriotic as the next guy, probably even more so. And then I moved to Canada. There are certain messages you can't preach anymore because they don't work there. There are certain mindsets that you can't preach because they don't work there. And so you go, oh man, I'm back in the United States. Now I can preach, you know, about the standard and the flag and all these things. Then you come to Idaho, where it's the exact polar opposite from Canada, and you got to taper off on that kind of preaching. Because if you're not careful, everybody wants to cash arms and food and build a compound somewhere, and God bless, we'll kill them all. Can I tell you, both are wrong? Well, I have to pull my gun from my cold fingers. No, they'll still be warm. They don't care. They don't care. Pastor, you're going to take up arms against the government if they turn on the church? Absolutely not. I'm going to worship God. I already know how to do it. They said when Paul and Silas were in jail, they prayed and sang praises. When Peter was in jail, he prayed and the angel came and let him out. Let me tell you something. I got the key of the city. We got the key because we know our source. So when the world goes crazy, I will sing hallelujah. I will sing, oh Lord. I will sing hallelujah. Oh Lord, you are the source of my supply. Lord, I praise. I lift you high. I will sing hallelujah. Oh Lord, what do? When you consider the source, you give him praise. When you consider the source, you sing hallelujah. Come on, don't let the world, the chaos of the world, mess you up and cause you to stumble. Consider the source. The politicians lied. The Hollywood lied. The entertainment world lied. But Jesus cannot lie. He'll never leave me nor forsake me. He'll be with me. Come on. He is the Lord and he changes not. Consider the source tonight. Come on, worship him together. Worship him together. Come on, where's your source? Where's your joy? Where's your peace come from? Where does your inspiration come from? I don't need a Victims Anonymous podcast. I don't need a self-help podcast. I don't need a financial podcast. I got Jesus. I got the Bible. I got a church family. Oh, I worship you, Savior. Oh, I worship you, Jesus. Come on, he's already helped us tonight. He's already supplied needs tonight. He's already showed us how to do it tonight. Oh, Jesus. Come on, if you tried everything else and everything else has failed, try Jesus tonight. Obed-Edom, and I'm done. Obed-Edom, not part of it, not involved in it, but just allowed the Ark of the Covenant to be in his house until they figured it all out. It wasn't part of the kingdom. It wasn't part of the people of God. They just needed a place to park the Ark of the Covenant while they figured out what's going wrong with this new cart thing. Took them 90 days. When they came back to get it, they put on those staffs, they put on their shoulder, and they walked out, Obed-Edom was packed. His family was packed. They said, where are you going? Wherever that is. What do you mean? You don't understand the blessings. You don't understand the benefits. You don't understand the source, the supply. I'm going where that's going. And for hundreds of years, the sons of Obed-Edom, who weren't even supposed to be part of it, were listed as mighty men of valor. They were listed as gatekeepers. They were listed as sources of integrity. They were there singing. They were there worshiping. Why? Because for 90 days, I'm going to tell you something. It's one thing to listen online. It's one thing to come every once in a while. But if you just get in this thing with all your heart and all your mind, and you just sell yourself out to the things of God and consider the source, you'll never turn back. You'll never give up. Your family, and if the Lord tells your grandkids and great-grandkids, we'll be in this thing if you consider. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. I won't turn back. I won't turn back. I've never left anything behind. I've never forsaken anything. I've never given up anything. But I thought, man, I sure wish I had that. When he's my source. When he's my supply. Paul said, I count all as lost. I count all as dung. You know what that is. That I may gain him. I didn't lose anything. I gained heaven. I gained salvation. Oh, I love you, Savior. Anybody thankful tonight? Anybody grateful tonight? Anybody got a grateful heart tonight? Come on, that's the spirit of revival. Gratitude in the source. Oh, Jesus. Praise God, praise God. Amen. Tomorrow night, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday, we're going to be working at the church. If you want to come by and see what's going on, just stop by and say hello. If you want to come by and help, if there's something for you to do, we will give you a job. We'll do our best to find something for anybody that shows up to work. But we are rapidly approaching, closing it in. Concrete being poured, roof being put on, windows being ordered. In just a few, I know it may be more than three, but in just a few weeks, a couple months, it's going to start looking completely like a church. It's going to start coming together. We're getting bids for parking lot, curb and gutter, all of that. So, amen. Come by and check it out. Come by and see it. If you saw someone missing tonight, call them, text them, let them know you're praying for them. I know you miss them at church. Don't ever fall in the habit of missing church. Don't ever fall in the habit of missing church. Put God first in everything. He will make time for everything else. Amen. And if there's no time for it, maybe you don't need to do it. Praise God. Amen. Amen. One more time, just because it feels good. Just because it's right. Let's give God praise in the house tonight. Oh, we love you, Savior. I feel a sweet presence of the Lord in this house tonight. From the beginning to right now, I still feel it. Oh, Jesus. Hey, this is revival, church. This is revival right here. Come on, this is out. This is growth. This is outpouring. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Take some time tonight. Greet somebody in Jesus' name also. Don't forget, Brother Vinny is back there waiting for your tithe and your offering. We really need to keep the support of this thing going. It's not a free thing. It costs a whole lot of money to keep this thing going to build that church. Amen. God bless you. We will see you at the church or here on Sunday night. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.